Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Talking Cop. It's not quite an immediate match reaction. We've all had a couple hours to digest what we saw as Liverpool left Prague. Hopefully should be on the airplane headed home by now with quite a handy 1-5 victory. Joined tonight by Kev O'Sullivan. I'm your host, Matt. Kev, I thought that was just such a brilliantly fun game of football to watch. How'd you like it?
It was nuts. I said it to you before we come on air. That game was off the wall, completely the opposite of anything that I thought it would be. Nuts. It was crazy. I've never seen a European game where a side is gone, thought to themselves, do you know what? We're playing Liverpool. Defending is overrated anyway. Why bother? Let's just attack. And just keep going. Literally just attack. It was a crazy game of football to watch. Absolute off the ball nuts. In the best possible way it was nuts. Because we never got what we'd normally call control in the game. We never got a foot on the ball, dominated possession, and slowed it down and played it at the pace that we wanted to play at. We got dragged. Normally when we play some sides, you know, you hear the phrase that you get dragged into a game that we don't want to play, and it's usually we're dragged down.
Yeah.
This was different again, man. This was like, we were dragged into a game of schoolyard football where it's like, you attack, we attack, and whoever scores the most wins. You know, it's like, you're playing in school, and it's lunchtime, and you're playing with your mates, and it's like, you're just going for as long as you can until the teacher comes out and says, time to get back into class. And whoever scores the most goals wins.
Yeah.
That's the kind of game of football it was. It was absolutely off the ball, totally crazy. And we come away with a 5-1 win. Thank you very much. And I said it in the show that we were chatting about last night. The Porto game away where we won 5-0 is an exception to the rule. They don't happen often. Games like tonight don't happen often in Europe. It's just weird, man. Maybe it's this competition, you know? Maybe it's just because it's the Europa League. And sides just say, fuck it, just go for it. Who cares? You know, it's mental. Because they'll probably get into the Champions League by winning their league anyway next year. So, you know, it was crazy. I don't know how you saw it. Did you see it the same? Because, like,
I did. I really did.
I know you enjoyed it, but
somebody in the Telegram group described it as like the NBA All-Star game, where literally you're, I think, legally forbidden to play defense in the NBA All-Star game. And that's why I think it finished like 200 to 190 or something like that, because it's just end-to-end stuff. But like when you were talking there, it just made me think Sparta Prague are just a better Burnley. Like, they're trying to play that expansive football because they're used to dominating. So Burnley did it last year in the championship. You know, you went through, I listened to Joran Gav's show back this morning before the match and, you know, kind of going through their stats in the Czech league and how they've been dominating, you know, only conceded 6 goals at home, I think it was, all season.
Yeah.
You know, like, hadn't lost.
In total.
Yeah. And so, like, they're used to being on the front foot. And so usually, you know, the smart thing to do is go, okay, we can't play like that. But they just went, let's have a ding dong. And they found out that there is a big difference in the quality of opposition between Slavia Prague, Victoria Pilsen, and Liverpool Football Club, because they did not have any idea of what they had gotten into. Like, they wanted to get into an old fashioned slobber knocker with this Liverpool team. And okay. Cause yeah, we kind of put the boots to them a little bit. Before we get into the lineups, I got to point out that in the first minute, because I've never watched Sparta Prague play, never saw, unlike Gav, I didn't get caught in a bar in Barcelona and they just happened to be on the TV. In the first minute, the ball goes back to their goalkeeper and he kicks it along the line, kicks it along the line, kicks it along the line, and forces Darwin to chase him down. And then he picks it up and he takes his time. And I was like, are these guys time wasting in the first minute of the game? And 20 seconds later, they're trying to play around from out at the back and Darwin gets a toe on it. Endo heads it down to him and Darwin should score. And from there on, it was just like, nope, full throttle. we're just going to go for it. Like, if you score 5, we'll score 6. And they didn't score 6. We scored 5 though. But yeah, I quite enjoyed it. I think for a neutral, you would be very happy to have sat down and watched that game at 5:45, wherever it is, you know, English time you were watching it. The lineups though, Kev, you and Gav had quite the brainstorm session last night trying to figure out, you know, what our 11 was going to be. You were
that
it would be a strong 11, but that was quite a strong 11, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, when I look back at the lineups that myself and Gav picked last night, we both didn't get Konate starts, and we both would have started with Virgil.
Yeah.
We both would have started with Costas instead of Robertson, but fair is fair. Robertson hasn't played an awful lot of football recently, so it's getting back up to match fitness and match sharpness. Understand that one. We both started with Endo, and I think the surprising one for me was I thought Bobby Clark would start, and Endo and McAllister might rotate, and Joe Gomez might go in the 6 at some point, you know. But no, he went strong. And the front 3 that started, delighted Darwin started. Just goes to show that hurdling over a barrier at Wembley is really good for stretching out that hamstring and showing that your fitness is right up to where it needs to be. So, yeah, I think the one that Gav was pointing out was probably Luis Diaz, that he's played an awful lot recently, and maybe wrap him up in cotton wool. But yeah, it was a strong 11, but by no means the strongest 11 that we can put out if all things are rosy in the garden. You know, it was a strong 11 to go and win the tie, to maybe give you the breathing space in the second leg that you can have a breather at home at Anfield before you play Manchester United in the Cup and everyone goes off on their international break. So, yeah, look, good 11. Most importantly, the biggest thing to come out when the starting lineups came out, Mo Salah's available back on the bench. Do you know that? Mo Salah being available on the bench, huge, absolutely massive. We all know that Mo he keeps himself in excellent shape. He's physically as fit as anyone as I've ever seen. You just wanted to see him not overstretched, but get enough time so that he can get a few minutes into his legs, test out his hamstring so he can trust it, and then we'll see where he is for the weekend. And yeah, delighted with it, to be honest. Delighted with everything, the way it panned out. In some ways, it couldn't have been better. Yeah, other ways, not so good.
Yeah, there's certainly one. There's certainly one fly in the ointment for everybody because I'd say
there always is.
Yeah, pretty much unanimously, regardless of what scoreline you were happy taking or would bite off somebody's hand for before the game, pretty much everybody, whatever scoreline you pick, it was caveated with but no injuries. So unfortunately, it looks like Ibu Kanate might have picked up a little bit of an injury. Ashley L with an early quote on just that. To answer your question, because People the Mouse was asking about Ibu, Klopp said, Ibu said to me when he passed me in that moment, I thought if I do another sprint, then it could be bad. So he said he should be fine. We don't know. So there's a hint of the precautionary about it. So fingers crossed that he's ready to go for Sunday and just realize that the game was in a good moment and it was okay for him to put his hand up and come off. But that was that 45-45 that a lot of people were thinking was going to happen with Van Dijk and Kanate. Ends up happening, you know, regardless of whether Van Dijk was scheduled to come on or not.
I'll be honest, right? But when I saw him, we talk about it now because there's no point in talking about it later. I saw him pull up when the ball came across. I saw him hop, slow down, and he did the right thing, but the ball was in a bad spot. So it's like, you know, the player is protecting himself when the ball is in a danger area and he's not stretching or going for it in any way. And also, a player is going to turn around to his manager and say, yeah, I'll be fine, boss. Don't worry about me. I'll be grand. I'd expect him to say nothing less. We'll see when they fly back tomorrow. He'll get a scan, and then we'll see what happens with the lineup that's picked on Sunday. Yeah. Until then, it's just going to be a great talking point for the next 3 days for people who have got nothing better to say, because the club won't release a damn thing about anything until an hour before kickoff. And then we'll find out.
I like this from Jonathan. Jonathan says, Klopp said it was just precautionary, so he should be ready for the preseason. Which is just bang on. I mean, Kev, unlike some of the other matches we've had where teams have tried to play out from the back, I'm thinking Southampton in the Cup a little while ago. Also, this is my favorite string of the season where this is our fourth game in four different competitions. It really only can happen if you go far in the League Cup and in the FA Cup and you're in Europe and the time's up all right. So, yeah, fourth match in 10 or 11 days, four different competitions. We made the press from the front work. There's a sloppy touch by, I believe it's Sorensen off of Sparta Prague in the penalty area. And Alexis McAllister is on him like an absolute flash. And that is a stonewall penalty, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it was brilliant from McAllister. It was absolutely brilliant. So quick over the ground to see that the chance was there to maybe nick the ball. The guy never had a clue who was there. He just didn't see him coming.
It felt like he was going to press him. Even if he'd have controlled it, it felt like McAllister's job was going to be to rush up and press him. But when he has that loose touch, he's just like instantaneously there.
Stonewall penalty. And the question always was, who's on pens, lads? Mo's not on the pitch. Who's on pens? Is Joe Gomez going to grab the ball and say, it's mine? Is Darwin going to take it? You know what I mean? He's been on form. He's got a pretty good record off penalties, despite missing his last one, I think. And, you know, McAllister's like, that. I got fouled. My penalty. Thank you very much.
Yep. And his record last season at Brighton was, I believe, quite good. I think he was 8 out of 8 or 9 out of 9 or something
Nine out of nine, I think.
He's a solid, solid penalty taker. He's just a little bit further down just in terms of the seniority at the team. Like, you know, if Mo Salah's on the pitch, he is taking all those penalties. He took
the only worry as well, he got a good kick onto his right ankle. You know, he didn't follow through on him. I mean, it was a clear foul. But I'm like this now with everyone who gets a bang. It's like, oh God, please just get up. Just get up. You know, we've already lost him once. Don't let us lose him again kind of thing. You know, it was, once it sort of bounced back up and he's like, no worries. I heard the referee's whistle. I'm on pens, Mike.
Yeah. I love the fact that in this current run with Liverpool's injury situation, we've all developed hypochondria by proxy. Just any little thing of like, well, he's probably dead. Like, he'll never play again. That's a season ender right there. It's all over. I mean, he slots the goal away nicely. It gets us off to an absolutely perfect start. 1-0 after 4 minutes. And then Cantor says here, and this is the part of the show we're coming on to now. Seriously, Kelleher was shit hot again tonight. His form is incredible. He's my man of the match, Kev. I'll jump to the end and I'll let you know right now. If he doesn't have the spell he has from the time we score and through till the time basically we score again, and he makes two outstanding saves.
He's tough. I mean, we were watching on the because we're lucky enough that on Virgin Media over here on free to air TV, they have access to the Europa League and the Champions League games free to air. But in the studio, you had Mick McCarthy and you had Brian Kerr. Now, Brian Kerr has taken over. He's like he was the former Ireland manager, but he's taken over now as like a technical advisor to the FAI for the next probably year or so. And he was waxing lyrical about Kevin Kelleher and the fact that all he needed was to play games. And it's been proven to be the case. Kelleher, once he's got that at the start of the season, he got the jitters out of the way. Now that he knows that he's starting every week, every game, he's going to be playing come hell or high water. And as long as nobody has panic attacks online that he's injured. But he's been brilliant. But tonight, he had to work way too hard in a game that he should never have had to be working this hard in. And it was, you got to give your credit to Sparta Prague for how, yes, they took the risks of playing out from the back, but when they got it wide and they stretched the pitch and they attacked with pace directly, they were very, very hard to stop in midfield. And they played through the midfield probably too easily in large parts of the first half. But again, when they were through one-on-one with Kelleher, or he was forced into making saves, he was making brilliant saves. And the other side of his game that doesn't get the credit it deserves, his passing out from the back is so good. He takes a touch and just gives it to number six. Whoever's playing in the six, be it McAllister or Endo, he gets it to him almost all the time. His longer range passing out to the wing, either wing, left or right foot, doesn't matter, is brilliant. His distribution is so, so good. If it was Ederson that was playing these passes with this accuracy, people would be waxing lyrical about him. And, you know, Ederson's distribution is the best in the league, without doubt for me. But Kelleher's distribution, since he's been in the starting games for us, has been on a par with anyone. You know, he can hold his hand with anyone in the league as far as distribution is concerned. And he's just confident in the box to make saves, come for crosses. He made that one mistake where he came for a cross and didn't quite get it. But other than that, it was a pretty flawless performance from him again.
Yeah, he redeemed himself because he did flap pretty badly on that cross, and that's the one that's kind of scrambled out, and then Prague fires it back into the box. And I thought it was Kwanzaa at first, and then I thought it was Endo, but I think it's actually a Sparta Prague player, gets just a glancing head on it and sends it goalbound and like retreating, reaching backwards. Like, what a gorgeous, there'll be some beautiful pictures of that, of Kelleher at full stretch, tipping the bar, tipping the ball over the bar. And, you know, this is what happens when you have a regular sized goalie with normal sized arms on it. Before the flurry though, of Kelleher stuff, I have to say in the 10th minute, I have no idea how Wataru Endo doesn't get a yellow card. He basically just does a full-on NFL-style tackle. The guy's getting by him. Yep. He's completely beaten for pace, and he just bear hugs him, takes him to the ground, and it's like, that's a yellow card. Ref, nope, nothing. And then I believe he gives a yellow card to a Sparta player a few moments later for complaining that a foul wasn't given, which is just absolutely beautiful. But we are going to get on to talking about the midfield because they were just absolutely fantastic. But yeah, at the end of that kind of burst that Prague had there around the 15-minute mark, Kelleher ends up going down on the ground after. It's an unbelievable catch that he makes. I can't remember if it was from a corner or just from across from open play, but the ball swung in high into the box. He's out early. He's up high. Both hands on the ball. He catches it. Kanate and the captain of Sparta Prague kind of collide into him, and he goes down injured, and it's like, oh, shit. And then the words that literally no Liverpool fan wants to hear is, Adrian is warming up on the sideline.
Well, it wasn't just Adrian. It was the young kid who was warming up as well.
Amorosic before Adrian.
Yeah. It was, he just hit the ground hard. You know what I mean? He came down flat, hit the ground. But I think he was grabbing his stomach when he went down because it wasn't an elbow as in, you know, here, have that. But it was the guy trying to make space. But I think he caught an elbow into the gut.
Yeah.
And I think that winded him and that kept him down for a bit. Keepers will probably fall like that a couple, two, three times a training session. You know, when they're trying to catch balls, especially under pressure. It's part and parcel of the job. And, you know, it won't be the first time he lands like that. The hope is when you land like that, you don't land with one foot and you're waiting for the other one to catch up, where you can jar your knee, you can roll your ankle, you can do all kinds of damage with your back. But the fact that he landed straight down and it was like, yep, oof, yeah, that's going to hurt in the morning. But he was fine. It was literally just almost winded, took one in the belly, grand. But yeah, I'm no different to anyone else. I was, yeah, my backside was doing buttons at that time. It's just no more.
Yes, well, luckily you weren't in the same boat as David Mathis, who says, I cursed on a conference call and had to play it off when Keller went down injured. the first save, though, Kev, it is, I don't know how they get in. And this is variations on a theme for Liverpool. Andy Robertson, not the best day defensively or offensively, really. Jarrell Kwanza, when he was playing on the left side, when he was paired up with Konate, didn't really have the best time. Harrison or Haraslin or something like that was one of the forwards for Prague who was going up against Ibu Konate and absolutely skinning him on the turn for most of the first half an hour. But the first save on 15 minutes, they get in behind. Kelleher makes a fantastic save to get a hand up on it. I mean, the guy's wide open. He's got the whole net to shoot at. Kelleher gets a hand on it, flips it up, and Joe Gomez wasn't quick enough to get back to cut the pass out or to block the shot off, but he's got his head screwed on. He's doing what the defender's supposed to be doing. Keep going back towards your goal. And then not a panicked goal line clearance at all. Like, it's almost a pass that Gomez makes and allows Kelleher to fall on it. But living dangerously, Kev. We're living dangerously. And then we get a little counterattack, and the ball comes through. It breaks off of our box. Darwin Nunez comes back. He picks the ball up. He feeds it out to the left side. Luis Diaz looks like he's going to go down the left-hand side, you know, take on his fullback with pace and try to beat him. Instead, he cuts back inside. Harvey Elliott is calling for the ball at his feet. He gets it from Luis Diaz. Elliott carries it up a few yards, gets his head up, and passes the ball to only scores bangers Darwin Nunez. And it's a beautiful goal, very similar to the one he scored against Bournemouth.
I was just like, oof, babe. I was just, wow. It was one of those ones, like, outside of the box, take a touch, bang, curl it. It was just, wow. It was just that stayed hit. You've got to question the keeper because it wasn't.
The replays look bad.
Yeah, it wasn't in the corner. It wasn't a posted stamp effort. It was, you know, he should be doing better.
Have you seen an angle that kind of shows how much curve was on the ball? Because it looked like it had some nasty late, like, dip and swerve on it almost. Because, I mean, yeah, their keeper, he flapped like early season Onana on that one.
Yeah, but I think the angle of the shot was just, it was always over his head. So, and it was coming down. It was like, if you ever watch cricket and you see a medium pacer when they swing the ball and they swing it late, it was like that. The ball's coming down. You know it's going to swing. You just don't know which way it's going to go. That was kind of like that shot. It just stayed high, and then down. It was a perfect shot, but if you're a keeper, you'll be disappointed. But it was like, I was just literally, oh my God. There are going to be people who are doing watch-alongs making noises that human beings shouldn't be making outside of the confines of their bedrooms when they were watching that goal. It was an outstanding finish. And given the fact that they were putting the pressure on and arguably had the better chances, they did. They had really good chances that they couldn't finish. Here we are. We're sat 25 minutes in and we're 2-0 up. And you're away from home. You're 2-0 up. Home leg to come against Anfield. I just relaxed then and I started watching the game. I'll be back in 2 seconds, mate.
I was going to ask if your dog needed to go out there. You could just hear him whining a tiny little bit. Ashley L. sharing a fantastic stat. Darwin Nunez has been directly involved in 12 goals in 12 games for Liverpool in 2024, 8 goals and 4 assists, which is the joint most of any Premier League player across all competitions since the turn of the year, level with one. The league is over because he's back from injury, Kevin De Bruyne. It's an absolutely gorgeous goal. It's a pity that you have to kind of take a little bit away from it simply because of the poor job that the keeper does on it. Just to throw back a little bit, earlier Scouser Pete was asking if we're sure that Kevin Kelleher is Irish because he's too handsome in his opinion. And Madge Apple comes with a great shout that he looks... Somebody said that Kevin Kelleher looks like a philosophy student from the 1960s, and that is bang on. He'd pull off a tweed jacket with patched up elbows just absolutely fantastically.
He's your local friendly geography teacher. That's what he is.
Yes. He would rock a pipe. I'm telling you. He could really pull off a pipe right there.
Yeah.
34th minute, we have the obligatory Joe Gomez shot. This one is within the box. He's at the corner of the box. Yeah. He crosses in, takes a shot. No, probably should have passed that one.
No, it was actually a bad pass to him.
Yeah.
The pass that came to him should have come with the ball out in front of him. And I don't think he could have gone, because I don't know if there was anyone on the outside or on the overlap again, but it was... there are players that played tonight, and you've got to look at it and think, you didn't have the best game defensively. But going forward, you can't knock him. You've scored 5 goals away from him. They can't be knocked. But it was almost a case of, I think they knew. I think the players knew that we are better than they are. And all we have to do is just string the passes together and we will be fine. You know, I don't think we were in anything outside of third gear, maybe with the clutch down to put it into fourth if we needed to. It was like, whether it was a case that they thought it was too easy, I don't know. I think they probably did expect Sparta to slow down at times and to just ease off and go back into their shape.
That's the logical thing.
Yeah, but they never, ever did. So I think this is an unusual game in that respect, because you expect sides, after you go one up, you go two up, they'll say, okay, maybe tonight's not our night. We'll live to fight another day. We still got to stay in the game until the second leg. They just said, fuck it. It was throwing convention out the window, which, fair play to them. Against Galatasaray. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And I think it gets to a point, like maybe at 2-0, they might be thinking, okay, get into halftime, maybe change up the strategy a little bit. We then go on and get the third goal just before halftime. And at that point, they need to score. Because if you're thinking, we have to go to Anfield and score at least 3 to take it to extra time, they always score at home. So that means we probably have to score 4. That's dangerous Barcelona talk right there. We'll definitely score 1, right?
Well, they had one in the 40th minute where Kelleher...
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The shot, the guy was coming down their left wing. He got the shot off. Kelleher made the save, pushed it out. onto the on-running guy who was coming in off the other wing. And he went off left foot, right foot off left foot, out for a corner. But it was harder to miss than it was to score. You know, Kelleher was out of the picture. There was nothing he could do. He did all he could and pushed it away. The guy couldn't get his feet. You know, it's kind of like me trying to dance. It's like, you just don't. Certain things are just not meant to be. And he just couldn't get his feet mixed. He just couldn't get his feet in order.
Yeah, I think it comes at him too fast. There's a lot of venom on the shot. Kelleher gets out. He just tries to get in the way of the shot. It ricochets off him. It comes out like lightning. I thought on first glance of like, that's a shocker. Like, he has to score there. But when you see it, it's so bang, bang. It's so bang, bang. I was just going to say, the second goal, number 1,000 for Liverpool under Jurgen Klopp, which is fantastic. Number 900 was scored by Darwin Nunez. So we've already had over, I think somebody said 111 goals this year. I know you saw the tweet, so maybe I'll just ask if anybody in the chat knows who scored the first of our goals under Jurgen Klopp. I mean, it's getting a little... They have a player that goes off injured. I didn't see what happened to him. It was Sorensen, the one who gave away the penalty early on. It was just so breathless the entire first half. On the 40th minute. So the one you were talking about, that was on the 36th minute. Then on the 40th minute, they just hoof the ball up from the goalkeeper. The guy's way offside. He's way offside. The refs let it play through. Kelleher and Konate do just enough. They have to make their change because of the injury. And then Cody Gakpo goes full Darwin Nunez. He wins a long ball race. I don't know how. He always looked like he was second best to the ball, but he has the right angle and the speed on the center half. He's too strong for him. He barges past him. He gets into the box. He does beautiful the pirouette on the ball, maintain control. Yeah. Their keeper slips, and he shoots it right at the recovering goalkeeper. And it's like, oh, fuck, Cody. He can't buy a goal at the moment.
It was an exceptional Berba spin to be able to pull off to the other side. And I swear to God, if the keeper doesn't slip, he doesn't save it.
No.
Not a hope in hell. Gakpo didn't legislate for the keeper not doing that. He did everything right. And I think he had a couple of other chances as well, where their keeper pulled off some really good saves. Especially, I think, one just before that, where he got a shot off. He got good power on it to the near post, and the keeper just got down and got a save on it as well.
Oh, yeah, that was the one. It looked like it hit the post. Yeah, that was on the 42nd minute. Yeah, that was just before they made their substitution.
That was just before this one.
That was a very good save. That's about the only gold star their keeper can have for tonight. Because he did not have a good one. He did not have a good one. On the stroke of first half injury time, Diaz, McAllister link up with a little 1-2. Diaz ends up shooting over, but it's a brilliant pass from Alexis McAllister, who, again, will get his flowers.
He waited for this pass. I'm watching it again there now. He waited for Darwin to get on his bike.
Well, for the goal, it's such good play. I mean, we'll talk about Darwin Nunez's finish because I got a few things to say about that. But the play from Alexis McAllister and Wataru Endo in the build-up to that, because they have the ball.
Yeah.
Our midfield go in like a pack of terriers, win that ball back. McAllister makes 2-3 challenges to get the ball won back. And then the easy passes there. Just pass it back, you know, whether you kick it all the way back to Konate or you spray it out to Kwanzaa or Kelleher or whoever it is, and you just recycle the ball. But he doesn't, Kev. He does like he did in the 99th minute against Nottingham Forest. He takes a look. He spots his mate mate in Darwin Nunez, and the South American connection is really starting to look good for us. He knows the speed that Darwin Nunez has. He puts it into an empty space and says, there you go, Pantera. Run on to that one.
The vision to see it is ridiculous. The quality to execute it is outrageous. And to put it into a space where Darwin didn't, all he had to do was time his stride to arrive onto the ball at the perfect time. And when he hits it, that shot, that coming onto a volley like that is so difficult that you don't skew it, you don't sky it, you get the contact clean and true. And he did. When you see that ball go into the goal from behind it, he hits it the gun barrel straight. That doesn't deviate an inch. There is nothing that that keeper can do about it. That's one of his best goals. I love the one from outside the box. This, to me, is screams technique. It absolutely screams technique.
I love that you use the word scream there, Kev, because you know what it screamed to me? Luis Suarez. Yeah. That goal reminded me so much of those two bounce volleys where it bounces once, you look up, you make your mind up of what you want to do with the ball. Second bounce, you get yourself set. Kablamo. Oh, what a goal. And I mean, couldn't be finding his form at an absolute better time. I mean, he's going to be absolutely buzzing coming into the weekend.
I can't wait till the weekend. I mean, so I think Gav was saying that there's going to be a preview show tomorrow night. We'll chat about it at the end. You know, we'll chat about the, you know, that at the end, but we get to halftime. Give me one sec there.
Sure. Well, I mean, first thing at halftime is the host comes on and asks everybody that's watching to hit the like button for us while you're in here. Rate and review on podcast downloads after the fact. Please, if you can support our charity fundraisers, which is fan supporting food banks in Liverpool, the Lighthouse Cafe in Dublin, helping provide warm meals and food to people that are in desperate straits and need it. You'll find the link in the description. Trying to raise 10,000 euros. Please help donate for that if you can. Send the link along. Let people know what it's there for, because it is a very good cause and there are still a lot of really good, generous people in the world. You'll also find the link to Phil Casey's 5 for 5 quest challenge that he's doing. I believe he's off this weekend. I think Saturday or Sunday. He's down in
Kinmare this weekend. You've been down here. You know the kind of hills and area he's going to be doing this running and cycling in. And at the minute down here, it's cold, it's wet, it's miserable, it's horrible. Yeah, I don't envy Phil one bit. So he's got a hard one this weekend.
Scary roads riding around it on a bus reminded me of being in Guatemala. And just it's some white knuckle stuff, especially because we were sat right at the very front of the bus. And the other thing as well, too, is footballprizes.co.uk has an incredible Trent Alexander-Arnold framed, signed, LED, customized jersey that they've got up for sale. Limited number of tickets available. There is a ton of instant win prizes on there. So you get your odds down to being like 1 in 20 or 1 in 30 or something like that. So check out footballprizes.co.uk for that as well, too, if you want to get yourself some nice Liverpool gear. And as always, consider becoming a member of this wonderful channel, because we got a final episode or two of the greatest coming up, and hopefully Gav's schedule's cleared up a little bit and we can get back into a little bit of the 30 roll of things, because there's been not nearly enough random complaining from the likes of Brian O'Sullivan and Garmack in my life. So we got to get to that. I mean, halftime, Kev, I just thought it was one of the best 45 minutes of football that you'll watch. I mean, it helps that Liverpool are up 3-0, but I think even for a neutral, just because it was defense not allowed. Bradley comes on for Joe Gomez at halftime. I saw some people were postulating a rumor that he was potentially injured. It felt very pre-programmed. You know, maybe it'll be proven wrong in the fullness of time, looking back on it in a couple of days when Joe Gomez is out for, you know, 4.5 months with an ACL injury or something like that. But I don't give a whole lot of credence to that. And wow, Connor Bradley, what a way to make an impact on the match.
Yeah, he had a 5-minute period of that first, the start of that second half. I think he'll learn from, for sure. But it was halftime. Look, my usual ritual at halftime, I'll come out, I'll make a coffee. I don't watch the halftime stuff. Can't do it. It takes some of these pundits, they go through my soul sometimes. Like Kenny Cunningham on the commentary, for God's sake. I needed caffeine. And it was, I come back in, seen the substitutes, and I saw Ibu was still on the pitch, because I was convinced that Klopp would do the halftime, Virgil with Ibu. And I thought, okay, he hasn't. Maybe it's because Ibu's in tune with the match, he's up to speed, you know, give it to the hour, you know, and see what happens. We're 3-0 up, but they're having a proper go, you know, so and in the first minute, that their fullback, I think the Brazilian kid, don't ask me his name, I haven't a clue who he is.
Preciado.
Rapid.
Yeah. Ecuadorian.
Rapid. Rapid. He'll end up in the Premier League. I can tell you that for nothing. He's got pace to burn. And he put the ball into the right winger. He got the jump on Robertson. He got ahead of him. It was touch and go. Whether it was, he timed the run really well. I mean, we caught him offside some like 5 or 6 times in the first half. But this one, they timed really well. Bradley, everyone was trying to chase back. And instead of going with his left foot, which is what he should have done, he went with his, tried to go with the outside outstep of his right foot to get it away. And he just got it horribly wrong. Yeah. I mean, it was a hell of a finish. Keller could do absolutely nothing about it. But look, defenders are going to make those kind of mistakes. It's part and parcel of the game. You got to dust it off. And I think after about, I think he struggled with it for a couple of minutes. He was living, it was in rent free in his head for a few minutes because he had a couple of shaky moments within a few minutes of that. But after that, he was grand. You know, once he started bursting his lungs open and going the other way, I think he quickly forgot about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, they have another chance pretty much immediately from kickoff. I mean, they're back down our left-hand side again. I don't know their team well enough to know who the names were. Preciado stuck out to me because, like Kieran B. asked, is that the guy that looks like Willian? And yeah, he did. I saw him at one point. Was like, holy shit. Like, I was wondering if he got out of Saudi Arabia. Oh, no, he's still at Fulham, isn't he? He never got to Saudi Arabia. Boy, he dodged a bullet on that one. He really dodged a bullet on that one. But the ball's played to the back post, and this is where Konate ends up pulling up injured. But another good piece of goalkeeping from Kelleher. You know, reads that the ball is going to make it across, gets out, gets himself big, shuts it down on the 1v1. I mean, the save is so good that it ends up going out for a throw-in, not even for a goal kick, which is good. But then, of course, we get Ibu Konate pulled up with his hamstring. And so we'll have to wait and see what the prognosis of that is. So then, of course, the change that I think most of us thought was going to happen, you know, swapping the two senior center halves ends up being forced onto us at the 50th minute. But then after Virgil comes on for Ibu, we get a little treat in the sense that Darwin Núñez goes off and Dominic Szoboszlai comes on to the pitch. Both, I feel, very much with an eye for the weekend. Very much. Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely Darwin Núñez is starting against Manchester City. But I think there's a chance that Dominic Szoboszlai might get the start. But there's a couple 100%. Of people. There's a couple people who might feel a little bit aggrieved by that because I thought that our midfield was absolutely spectacular today. We get the fourth goal on 53 minutes. Luis Diaz, Connor Bradley does very good. Like you said, it took him a couple of minutes maybe to shake that off, but he gets the ball. He's attacking now. He knows what he needs to do. He's got the ball right up against the byline, chalk on his boots. He beats his man. And instead of just powering a ball into the middle, he takes a little look and he sees that the pullback is on. He pulls the ball back to Harvey Elliott. Elliott edges it into the middle for Luis Diaz. It's a bit of a snapshot, snuffled, blocked a little bit. It's always Diaz's goal, ends up nestling right in the middle of the net. I don't think there's a lot the keeper could do about this one. No. But at that point, that is, you start thinking, tie over.
You for this 90, yeah. You know, you're thinking, okay, 4-1, that's it. Don't do anything stupid, and you're home free. The one thing I would say, and it was important that when we finished out the way the game went, that we didn't give them hope. The fact that for all their huff and puff, they scored one goal that we kindly did for them. It was important. The last thing you want is them getting a second and even maybe a third at the very end. You know what I mean? That they could go to Anfield 1 or 2 behind, you know, where 2-0 takes it to extra time kind of thing.
And with some belief, you know, that they can bloody our nose. You know, you don't want them thinking they've got a puncher's chance to come in and scoring a couple of goals kind of out of nowhere on us. And we kept them at arm's length. And yeah, the fourth goal really, really kind of seals it up. Yeah. The man that we were talking about, Preciado, the right back, an audacious attempt moments later. He's got nobody to pass the ball to. He's in a little bit of space, crosses over the halfway line. He takes a look up and he sees Quvín Kelleher off his line and figures, No guts, no glory. And
for
Kelleher,
for those in attendance, Ronaldinho and David Seaman. That is what that reminded me of. It was right out on the edge of the box, but Ronaldinho's was a free kick. And he chipped David Seaman from around that distance. He had a crack, you know, and it wasn't as if it was off target or anything. That needed saving. You know, the audacity to even try it, but the technique to be able to get it close. Fair play. That's why I say he's probably on a Premier League list somewhere for some club to have a punt on. No doubt.
Yeah, exactly. A team coming up from the Championship might do a lot worse than somebody like that. You probably
I'd be looking at a West Ham. Ooh. Someone like that with links to Prague through their owner.
Oh, and that's right. Yeah, and they've got the couple of Draculas and Soufal and Souček that they've gotten from Sparta Prague as well. 62nd minute, Szoboszlai does fantastic to just touch the ball to Gakpo after we force another turnover high up the pitch. Gakpo, good strength, turns, wins the race. Goalkeeper's out just a little bit too quick for him, smothers the ball. 64th minute, we see Bobby Clark coming on for Alexis McAllister. Just an incredible, incredible game. We'll go through it in broader strokes at the end of it. We have one sub left at this point, and Mo Salah starts warming up. And wouldn't you know it, Mo Salah comes onto the pitch for Luis Diaz. Sparta makes their final three substitutions, so all the subs are done for the day. And it was, is he going to score? Kwanzaa makes an impressive block in our box to stop another goal-bound shot from them. 79th minute, Szoboszlai, he should score. He shoots directly at their goalkeeper. He swivels twice in the box. He's got all this time, and he shoots it right at him. And then in the 84th minute, Mo Salah makes it 5-1. Clark and Elliott do fantastically to win the ball back high again. Shocker. Elliott gets his head up. He squares the ball to Szoboszlai, who could shoot, but instead he slots the ball into Mo Salah, who's just lurking in that spot that he loves to be in. Left-footed, bottom corner. His 20th goal of the season, 206 for Liverpool, and it doesn't matter because VAR has ruled it offside.
Yeah.
Kev, have you seen anything to convince you that was offside? Because...
Yeah, it's offside. I haven't seen anything, but it's offside because of the technology that they use on European football.
I didn't see fancy lines. 3D lines. I didn't see Tron.
They don't put them up. They use semi-automatic. Yeah, they don't put them up. Not in the Europa League because there's so many games going on that out of one production company, they just don't put them up. It's literally you trust the technology.
There's one person that disagrees with you. Ashley L, quote from Klopp. He says, Mo's goal was exceptional. We checked it. It was not offside. So Kev O'Sullivan taking the brave position of being against Jurgen Klopp.
The thing is, when you watch, I literally just noticed it when I'm watching the highlights here now. I'm just watching the highlights of the goal. Before Damo lays the ball off, Mo goes back and away from the defender to create an angle. All he has to do is put a foot in an offside position.
Yeah.
While he's moving back and towards the goal. I never noticed it until I'm looking at an angle behind the goal. And the ball comes to Dominic Szoboszlai. Salah's pulling away. And as he's pulling away, he's pulling towards the goal at the same time. And look, is what it is. The defender is leaning back. Salah is leaning forward. You have to trust the technology in this respect because the semi-automated technology is pretty bang on almost all the time. It's a lot more accurate. It's a lot more points of contact that it takes comparing to the one that the Premier League uses. It is way more accurate. So
I don't know, Kev. I drew a line on my phone like Tony Bellew would do, and it looked like he was onside to me. So I agree with Jonathan here. Monumental error talk in the media all this week. That seemed colossal, gargantuan. I don't know. We're gonna need better adjectives.
That would have been the 5-1 goal. I can see where the monumental line comes from for sure. The one thing I'll say, Salah is as sharp as a tack. To create that angle, to get the shot away, he's sharp. He's back on it. I'm not worried about him in the slightest. You know, I don't think he's someone that needs a game and a half, 2 games to build his momentum back up.
We that showed that against
few Brentford. Minutes. Yeah, that few minutes there, he'll be fine.
Yeah,
and be I mean, on up the weekend for sure.
Yeah, we get our fifth goal taken away, and then because we score late goals. I mean, we scored in the 3rd minute of first half injury time, and we score in the 3rd minute of second half injury time. We counter, and is this where Harvey Elliott's third assist comes from? Did he play the ball to Szoboszlai?
Was it 3 or 2?
I saw somebody say he had 3 assists, and I couldn't clock where he got the.
He had three.
So, yeah, Elliott at some point plays the ball to Szoboszlai, who just goes for a run. I mean, it's 3v2. He's got options. They take the pass away, which I don't know if that's how they teach it, but that's in defense and ice hockey. That's what they tell you is take away the pass, let your keeper make a save.
Yeah.
Just buries it in the net. 5-1.
It was great composure in the box. You know, he didn't rush it. He took his time, picked the shot and took it. He looked sharp coming on. I think he was blowing a bit at the end. No, I think the minutes will have done him good. You know, it's been a good while since he's played meaningful football.
Yeah.
You know, whether he starts at the weekend, I think you probably will start him at the weekend. Just and see how he goes, see how long he can go. But yeah, he gives you a serious option. Plus his ability from set pieces. You know, he's got a good set piece on him, and he can pick a good pass. And the way City play, they do leave space behind. And if you're going to leave space behind for Luis Diaz, Darwin Nunez, Mo Salah, Cody Gakpo, when he's involved to run into,
please do.
You know, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Do. Yeah. And one thing we might be forgetting, because it's been a while since Szoboszlai has been, you know, a main fixture in the starting 11. His running numbers, his defensive contributions were spectacular at the start of the season. So, you know, this isn't bringing in some vanity attacking number 10 or something like that. This is the guy that fits the system. It just feels like slightly hard lines for, you know, one Harvey Elliott, who, I mean, he's been absolutely running to the ground. I didn't think Elliott would play the full 90. He's just been like Scouser Pete here. He says Harvey Elliott has been beasted in the last 2 weeks, but instead of dropping off a cliff, he's getting better and better with each game he plays. And I mean, can we have a talk about the midfield, Kev? Because wow, those are three not large gentlemen. And it's funny thinking back to this time last year and talking about how we need to rejig the midfield, and you start, you know, having these discussions over tall midfielders. You know, they've got to be tall, they've got to be big, and we've got Endo McAllister and Harvey Elliott out there. They were fantastic. And the combination of Endo and McAllister, it's not even a question. They are in our best 11.
Yeah, I mean, look, for me, there were patches in that game where we didn't have control of the game, where we were flying by the seat of our pants. A lot of that was because of how they played through midfield. I think it took us a while to get to grips with it. There were moments that Endo just looked like he was sniffing everything out, and he was doing some really good stuff, really good work. He was intercepting loads.
Well, he got called like for a said, handball in the first half, Kev. He reads it brilliantly to get in line for the interception, and the ball's coming right at his face, and he puts his hands over his face, and the referee calls for handball, and you just see Klopp on the sideline like,
it's one of those things. I mean, look, he should have been booked early.
Yep.
He was channeling his inner Fabinho, where he just smiled, and he just like, you know, and Fabinho learned it from Fernandinho, and it's like, you know, sometimes players get away with it. And it is one of those things that some clubs get frustrated watching the Liverpools of this world, where players don't get booked, you know. And I don't know whether the ref was a bit, you know, hands-offish with the cards, because it wasn't that kind of game to begin with. But there were instances, there were fouls for both sides where you would have expected bookings. And they just didn't come to pass. But I thought Endo was pretty good in the main. McAllister, attacking-wise, his vision, he was brilliant in certain phases of the game. Other parts of the game, I thought they made him work. I think I'll go back to it. In the first half, Kelleher had to work way too hard for my liking. It'll be a completely different game at the weekend. We will not be that open. You know, there is no way in God's green earth that we will be that open against Man City. And I don't care where you're playing the game. There is, if you give Erling Haaland those chances, or Phil Foden, or Kevin De Bruyne, or Bernardo Silva, they'll be out of sight by halftime, and we'll be destroyed if we defend like that. If we play like that open, that's why I just don't see that kind of game. But I do see a game where we'll draw them in to hit them on the break, and if they leave the amount of space that they normally leave against us, we will punish them for sure, because the pace that we've got going forward is something that Man City aren't used to playing on a regular basis. So bring it on. Can't wait. But yeah, look, you go away 5-1 away in Europe, you're not complaining. It's just nitpicking, really. I'm just nitpicking a bit, because in truth, we could have scored another 2 or 3. We had some really good chances to score 7, 8, 9. You know, and I think if it was a case that we needed to, we could have. But 5-1, I think, I never say the tie is dead, but I didn't see anything in that side's performance that they can't. I think they'll come to Anfield. I think they're capable of scoring goals. I don't think they're capable of keeping us out.
Yeah.
So
nobody is I guess Manchester United anywhere. Keeping us out at home.
Yeah.
I read Steve.
Manchester United had no intention to try and win. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Red Steve sharing the Gav Doyle Memorial XG stats for the match. XG for Sparta Prague, 0.86, 2.52 for us. He is now aware of it, Red Steve. I've done my due diligence. We'll get into the Ashley L post-match comment section now. Harvey Elliott, I don't think we were at our best today, but we made our chances count. It was probably the best thing that could happen, especially with the second leg coming up. I thought we were very clinical in front of goal. And Harvey Elliott on Darwin Nunez, he's a very clinical striker. If you put him in for half chances, he is more than likely going to take them. We are over the moon for him. And then just a final comment on Manchester City. Harvey says, it's going to be a tough game, but they are coming to our house. And it's going to be a bear pit. We'll talk about it before we get out of here. Finally, Ashley L with some quotes from Klopp says, Sparta took risks and we punished them, scored wonderful goals. We knew it was not a walk in the park. We worked a lot. It was a good result. Now we recover and meet again in 7 days. Asked if there's any Sparta player any player from Sparta that impressed him that he would take to Liverpool. And Klopp says, I retire in the summer. Do I need to take him on holiday? Which is another in the collection of what is going to be a great compilation of Jurgen Klopp has announced his retirement and he doesn't give a shit anymore about media obligations. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Back that away. Yeah. Jurgen Klopp on Darwin Nunez. He had a more than okay first season, but he had to adapt. Wonderful boy. Loves playing for this club with his boys and has quality coming out his ears. It's like strikers are... Oops. Get out of here, Brian O'Halloran. It's like strikers. Is he at his peak? Not yet. Can he develop? But he's always a threat. Klopp on Joe Gomez says he's fine. We took him off. We played a lot of games, so that was more rotation, which is good. Klopp says it was individual quality tonight, not like team goals. The chances we had were team chances we created together. We needed to get a result here and now, and that's what we got. And then, Kev, the big one from Paul Joyce. Michael Edwards has held fresh talks with FSG in America over a possible return to Liverpool. This story isn't going away. If anything, it seems to be picking up some speed.
Yeah. For anyone who's in the chat, we had a member show the other morning, myself and Gav, that is probably released on Spotify now if anyone wanted to download. And we talked about Michael Edwards. And the thing is, to me, this isn't just Michael Edwards. Michael Edwards isn't getting on a plane and going to Boston to talk to FSG and the board for no reason. And Paul Joyce isn't being told this for no reason. There is other things at play here. Also, keep an eye on the guy at Bournemouth. The managing director, or the technical director of Bournemouth has announced that he's leaving the club at the end of the season. In all likelihood, is seen as he worked with Michael Edwards at Spurs, and the two of them are very close, that there is every possibility that I think you could see the two of them being announced as a package. That one will be the CFO, Chief Footballing Officer, you know, head of football operations for Liverpool Football Club. One will be the managing director or technical director, whatever you want to call it. And then they will bring in, the two of them will bring in the next Liverpool manager.
Yeah, Paul Joyce also says that should Edwards return, he would then select the sporting director. He has high regard for Richard Hughes, who has announced he will leave his post as Bournemouth technical director at the end of the season. So, yeah, that's really looking like it's starting to pick up speed. It's almost like things have been in the work in the background for a tiny little bit. So, here's to hoping. Finally, Paul Joyce says clarity on whether Edwards will be tempted to return to Anfield is expected soon, with Liverpool looking to make progress in building a structure that will ensure Klopp's successor as manager has the best chance of maintaining the club's success. And that is, it's just brilliant to see, because the foundation is there. We just need to make sure that the next guy coming in doesn't smash into it with a bulldozer. You know, that's why you, like Gav saying, he doesn't want a guy like Tommy Tuchel to come in and, you know, instantly want to put his mark on this team. That This is a well-oiled machine we got going here. So well-oiled, in fact, that, what is that, Kev? 7 straight wins for Liverpool?
Since February 4th, yeah. We're on a really good run at the minute. Yeah, Cahill makes a great point, actually, after Ashley's comment there, Cal Robinson. Xabi Alonso is acutely aware of Liverpool's interest. That's coming from Andy Hunter, who's with the Guardian. Look, there's a few managers out there that are, you know, you'd look at for sure. Xabi Alonso is obviously the number one. That noise isn't going away, and that noise isn't being quietened down by anybody either. It's clear as day, he's probably the brightest young manager coming through. His football education is up there with some of the best in the game. If he thinks he's capable of taking on the role from Jurgen Klopp and running with it and taking the club forward, there's no better person in my mind. Yeah. But the three who come in have to be on the same page. I'd hate to see a situation where... I look at Klopp after a couple of years. It wouldn't have mattered who came in. If Bayern Munich or Real Madrid came banging down the door, we want Jurgen Klopp, we want Jurgen Klopp. Klopp was always given in the middle finger. You know, I'd hate to be in a situation 1, 2, 3 years down the line with another manager who comes in, takes the ball from Klopp, has success, and has their head turned. So for me, whoever buys into this needs to buy into it and commit. You know, we don't do short-term management appointments. Whoever comes in is going to get time. So, you know, if it's up to Xabi Alonso, really. If Xabi Alonso has the balls, you know, good. It's a great appointment. Whoever comes in is going to have a big set.
And like some people have said, and it should be pretty common knowledge, that Xabi Alonso will know that this might be his only chance at this job. Like, the timing has aligned where he's in a position where he can probably dictate terms to Leverkusen, whether or not there's any truth to that. He has a release clause for certain clubs that he can, you know, break his contract with Leverkusen to join them. But who's to say that if, you know, Alonso says, no, I want to take another year or go to Bayern, you know, and then get sacked after only winning 2 trophies in a season, that whoever we bring in as our next manager doesn't cement themselves for 10 years. And then the job is gone. You know, it's one of those things that if you want it, you kind of have to take it because it may not ever come around for you again. Yeah. I mean, though people did say that about Frank Lampard with Chelsea. So maybe that's not the best. Maybe that's not the best comparison. I've already gone for Kelleher.
Yeah, I was going to give you a stat before we go. Darwin Nunez has been directly involved in 12 goals in his last 12 games for Liverpool in 2024. 8 goals, 4 assists, the joint most of any Premier League player across all competitions since the turn of the year, level with Kevin De Bruyne.
I did put that up on the screen when you went to tend to the dog, actually. It is a very, very good stat. It is a very good stat. I went with Kelleher for my man of the match because I just felt that he showed up at that moment in the game with a couple of huge saves to keep us ahead and allow us to build that lead going into halftime. Who'd you like, Kev?
Honestly, I wouldn't be going too far away from Creeping Kelleher, but I think Harvey Elliott had a really good game.
He did.
In total. You know, the three assists, Darwin with the two goals, two absolute banging goals. But yeah, Harvey, I'd nearly give it to Harvey, actually, because I thought he worked his socks off. His pressing was relentless. He didn't stop running. Didn't always get there, but that didn't stop. That didn't deter him. He just kept going and going and going. And he got his rewards at the end when he laid off the, he laid off the passes for the goals.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd go with Harvey Elliott. One thing I will say, the difference that Virgil makes when he comes on, within 5 minutes, that game was turn off the lights, close the curtains, job done. That's it. You've had your little bit of fun. You know, I never saw him stretched in any way, shape, or form for the rest of that game, 5 minutes after he came on.
Yeah, it's like when there's a substitute teacher in a room and the kids are all dicking around, and then one of the senior teachers steps into the room and all you hear is that squeak of chairs across, you know, school floors, and everybody just sits down and goes, "Oh yeah, we're not going to mess around anymore." Ashley L agrees with you in terms of Elliott. He's got through over 450 minutes of football in the last 60 days. Adrian Dickinson goes with Darwin, man of the match. I mean, those are two fantastic goals. McGlinchey agrees with me for Kelleher, making sure that we were still dominant in the game with his interventions. Madge Apple goes for Alexis McAllister. Manuel Federico Chachaza San Juan says Darwin's thunderbolt. Some people were saying the goalkeeper of Sparta missed the shot. Yes, right. He didn't even see it until it was in the back of the net. I absolutely love the enthusiasm from him there.
Yeah,
Kev, it's a good one. And now we roll on to the big game. The big game is next. And I think probably there's a few people whose nerves started before today's match was even begun or over. And slowly but surely, all of us as diehard Reds are going to start feeling those butterflies before we have kickoff at Anfield on Sunday.
Do you know what? I'll tell you what. After the chat I had with Gav last night, when we were on here last night talking about this game, I think he calmed me down so much about this game that I don't care what the result is, because it doesn't really matter. It would be great if we win. We have a brilliant record against them. If we win, we go 4 points clear of them, and fantastic, happy days. They play Arsenal next. Either way, one of those two sides is dropping points. If we draw, okay, fair enough, not the end of the world, happy enough. If we lose, and depending on how the result goes against City, we win our next game, we could be back on top of the Premier League again. I think that the TV Sky are going to make this game the be-all and end-all. Definitely don't think it is. I am convinced that between now and the end of the season, there's going to be drop points. Whether we drop them against City, or we drop a draw somewhere down the line, or we lose a game down the line. Convinced. All sides will. No doubt in my mind whatsoever.
Without a doubt, two out of the three sides are going to drop points because of the head-to-head matchups against them.
But it's not even that.
If you roll it back to us playing Arsenal, you know, we dropped the points there. So we're getting 96 points, Kev. We're getting 96.
Yeah. Okay. We ain't, but.
The other matches in the Europa League tonight, as Andrew Den says here, Leverkusen lucky though tonight against Carrier Bag. I thought they had scored a third goal. I was just looking at the scores coming in, but I see the final score was 2-2. They brought that back in Azerbaijan from 2-0 down, and not a great day out for Brighton for either their fans who had to deal with the absolute garbage that is some of the Roman ultras, or for the Brighton players on the pitch. 4-0. Ooh.
Listen, experience in Europe matters, and Roma are a seasoned, experienced, operator in this competition at this level for us for a good while. you got a player like Paulo Dybala playing up front for you. You know, they're a good side. They're a very, very good side. And, you know, at home, I think probably inexperience cost Brighton. No disrespect. It's like, this is really, really more than what any Brighton fan could have hoped to achieve, is being in this competition in the knockout stages, going to Rome, marred by absolutely disgusting behaviour by Italian fans. Absolute scum of the earth. But look, they'll get a chance to have another go in the home leg. They probably are out of it. 4-0, odds are against them massively. But they can have a go, see what happens. That's all they can do.
Yep, absolutely. And all we can do is just keep on chugging. But I did save an absolute banger. One final thing. Scouser Pete has a serious question for us, Kev. Scouser Pete says, my good lady is away for 3 nights. Would I be a failure as a dad if my son and I had takeout each night? Now, I'm not a father, so I don't really have authority on it, but it feels like it would be a dereliction of duty if you didn't have takeout each night. Kev, opinion?
Yeah, just make sure you don't brag about it and you dispense of all the evidence before you come back. And at least look like you've washed something up. Move the pots around. Make sure that all the potatoes that are in the cupboard are gone.
Because, throw them out. So no. Yep.
Yeah. Make sure that at least some of the wrappers are not at the top of the bin. You know, have a bit of nouse about you.
Yeah, smart. Yeah. Maybe take like a leaf off of a stalk of celery and just stick it to the side of the sink as she's, you know, coming up the front walkway.
You can tell who the proper parents are here. Ashley, diversify the takeout. Chinese, Indian, and greasy spoon. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that sounds absolutely wonderful. I mean, the issue is I'm supposed to go and make myself some butter chicken, but now I kind of just want takeout now, so... Thanks a lot for that, Scouser Pete. But mostly thank you, everybody, for joining us in here tonight. Always appreciate everybody in the chat. It is the best chat going in all of sports YouTube. If you're not in on it, if you're catching up on a download afterwards, try to make an attempt to come and join the live chat, because we have such a wonderful community of people in here. And then take it to the next level. €4 a month. Become a member of the Nippy Carpathians Bar, which is what we've decided to call our members because of a random thing Keith said a while ago, which is just exactly how things work here on the Talking Cop. Preview show coming up, I believe, tomorrow night. I won't be involved with that. I got plans. Can't always be watching football and doing YouTube shows. So that should be interesting as we have another discussion over what the starting 11 is going to be. I think this one should be a little bit more straightforward, though, Kev. But because I won't see you until after the game, Kev, are you confident?
I mean, look, I fancy us beating anyone at Anfield. I don't care who it is. I think we've got enough ability to be able to give them a lot of problems. They're in really good form at the minute. They're scoring goals for fun, but they're beating sides who they should beat. You know, I don't think they've been tested severely yet. And this is a stretch of games now that if they have ambitions to win the league, they'll want to come out of this stretch of three fixtures. I think they've got us, Arsenal, Aston Villa. If they can come out of those three fixtures with 7 points, they'll fancy their chances of winning the league. So, look, it's not to be all and end all, but you want to give yourself the best chance. And to give yourself the best chance, you need to be trying to win your home games. And, you know, it'll be a massive test, no doubt about it. We can't field our best side. We have injury problems. But we also have players in form, the likes of Darwin Nunes, Luis Diaz, Alexis McAllister. Virgil is on form of his life. Creevin Kelleher is playing outstandingly well. We've got a real chance. That's all you can hope for. Put a proper shift in, give it a go, and hope for the best.
And all Andrew Den could hope for was for somebody as generous as David Mathis to throw up a 1 month free Talking Cop membership, which Andrew Den just snagged. And that's what Avo gets for leaving the show early. I don't even know if Avo was here tonight. That's what you get, Avo. Ashley, I'll ask me what my 11 would be. I'll just tell you: Kelleher, Robertson, Van Dijk, Kanate, Bradley, McAllister, Endo, Szoboszlai, Diaz, Darwin, Mo. I think it's the best that we can do for now. It's extremely harsh on Harvey Elliott, but he's proven himself to be a hell of a deputy coming off of the bench. Obviously, this is going to be contingent on the health of Ibu Kanate. if Ibu can't go, I think you go with Kwanzaa. I think you go with Kwanzaa. I don't think that Gomez has played enough center half in the last couple of months to take the risk of putting him in at center half. So I think you go with Kwanzaa. But then, holy crap, that makes your right side inexperienced. But pressure makes diamonds. Pressure makes diamonds, Kev.
Yeah, exactly.
I cannot wait.
No idea. I don't think Salah starts. And that's the truth. I don't think for the amount of football he's missed since AFCON, I don't think 13 minutes away in Prague is enough. When you heard quotes from Klopp saying, if I had other options, I wouldn't have brought him.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, look, it's...
I'm asking for FPL reasons. Is he going to play?
I think he'll be an option off the bench. And I think, look, no matter what happens, we've got a long way to go to the end of this season. I wouldn't throw the kitchen sink and take gambles, big gambles, on this fixture.
Yeah.
You know, it's a marathon, not a sprint in the Premier League.
Well, I hope we come out of the absolute blocks on Sunday night, and because it just feels like when you need Anfield to show up, they show up.
It feels
like Sunday night is going to be, for lack of a better term, a fucking bear pit for Manchester City.
Yeah.
And we all love it. And the crowd will feed off of it when all bald Pep loses his mind on the sidelines. And then it just ratchets it up and up and up. But of course, we will have your build up for that. I believe you're on with me for the post-match after the match on Sunday, Kev. So Kev and I will be back with everybody for reaction after the match on Sunday. And then Gav and the lads will be there. I've realized that if you take the first letters of their name, it spells kegs. The Sunday night kegs show. It feels like it. Hopefully we're all heavily on the cans for that, because that's how you get 96 points and wins leagues. But we've gone to Prague. We've come home with a 5-1 win to take into the second leg next Thursday. Reds are looking very good. Darwin Núñez at the double. Thank you very much for joining me, Kev O'Sullivan. Thank you, everybody in the chat, for joining us. Please check out the charity link for our two charity partners. It's in the show description. You know all about it. You'll find it on the social media. Hit the like button on the way out. But if not, we'll see you guys on the next show. Adios.
Sports Social Podcast Network.